Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down. With Max and Stacey on Sputnik Radio. Coming up on the show, we talk to Dr. Bob Gill. He's a general practitioner in the UK's National Health Service, as well as a filmmaker. He's crowdfunded a film currently in post-production called The Great NHS Heist. But first, as always, it's time to hear from Stacey with the hottest headlines of the day.
Max, you know that recently we saw the G7 summit happen in Biarritz. Here was a headline from then, because it really kind of forecasts what's going to happen to the NHS. Macron warns UK could become US vassal state. France's president warned Boris Johnson that Britain risks becoming a vassal state of Washington after Brexit. It was a low blow and hardly news to anyone in London, the capital of the 51st state. Quote, can the cost for Britain of a hard Brexit, because Britain will be the main victim, be offset by the United States of America? Macron said, no. Even if it were a strategic choice, it would be the cost of historic vacillation of Britain. I don't think this is what Boris Johnson wants. I don't think it is what the British people want.
Right, yeah. This is an obvious development, isn't it? Now, you know, there's two ways to go about this. We can talk about how the country of Great Britain is yielding to the imperial urges of America, and how something like the NHS, the National Health Service, will probably be gobbled up by American contractors in due course. And it's all very predictable. But this show, you know, we've got somebody on the show who is fighting back, who is a general practitioner. His name is Dr. Bob Gill. He has been trying to fight for the NHS for a number of years, and rightfully so, because it truly is a fantastic public service, and the risk of it being gobbled up and sold off like the transportation system in the UK has been is very real.
Indeed, Max, because we're going to go into this film that he's making at the moment, The Great NHS Heist. We're going to see where it goes. Does it follow the chlorinated chicken of medical bankruptcy that is the American model? Let's play a little clip here. This is a voiceover for the film, and it's voiced by the actor Peter Egan, who you might know from Downton Abbey. And here it goes.
The British National Health Service, a central pillar of the post-war welfare state, was a revolutionary social advance. In the last 30 years, a secret and incremental plan of destruction of the nation's proudest achievement has unfolded. A monumental betrayal of the public interest. This is the story of the great NHS heist.
Well, that sounds very interesting. And it's now time to turn to the filmmaker of the great NHS heist, Dr. Bob Gill. Dr. Bob Gill, do you think the NHS is already a vassal of the US health insurance industry?
Hi, Max. Hi, Stacey. Thanks for having me on. Yes, we've had years of preparation for this final step, the final step to the corporate grab, which could be sealed with a US-UK trade deal, which Trump and Johnson seem to be working on behind the scenes. A lot of the work has been done. We've had the NHS broken up into three essential assets. You've got the land, you've got the patient data, and the prize is the budget, the recurring £120 billion budget, which the American insurers are very well positioned to take over soon after a no-deal Brexit, I've no doubt.
That's one of the problems with Brexit, is that you lose a lot of the defenses against outsiders like the U.S. And the U.S., of course, is all over the world, you know, ransacking economies. And, you know, as an American, I will happily take the £120 billion a year in income and put it into my retirement account, just like the Germans are happily putting the British rail system income into their retirement accounts after Britain sold that off to European pension funds. And of course, Britain also sold off half of its gold. So, you know, apparently Britain is just for sale, but the general population or the media there, I don't see how they can avoid the fact that the rulers of the country are basically turned into one big giant garage sale or boot sale, I believe you call it.
Exactly, Max. The country is being broken down into a series of assets, and these are hived off either to corporations or even to state-run enterprises, as you've mentioned with the British transport and the rail infrastructure. Fundamentally, fundamentally, we're being sold a lie, and the lie is maintained by silence of the corporate media, particularly the BBC. Trade deals are presented as a way to get more jobs and boost the economy. But what nobody talks about is the services, and what comes into that category with international trade deals are access to public service budgets. And this is what is the great prize, because the corporations are running out of ways to get a return on investment, and taxpayer money, limitless taxpayer money, is where the action is at the moment.
Now, I mentioned chlorinated chicken, and this is part of this trade deal that you're negotiating with the United States, because in the United States, what we do is we factory farm chicken, right? And we inject them with all sorts of hormones and antibiotics and all sorts of stuff. And then it's because of the very inhumane sort of way that they're raised, we treat them afterward. After we butcher them, then we treat it with chlorinated chicken to deal with any of all the bacteria and stuff. Whereas in Europe, you don't have chlorinated chicken. You just raise the chickens humanely or more humanely in less toxic environment. The same thing I think you could apply with the service sector of the healthcare industry in America. It's 18% of GDP, and the United Kingdom is less than 10% of GDP. Most of that is due to the fat, the hormone-injected sort of grotesquery of the U.S. healthcare system is this layer of bureaucracy, all these bureaucrats, the Kafkaesque sort of nature of all this paperwork that you have to fill out to get one single interaction with your doctor. What will you see in the U.K.? Like, first of all, how much is your U.K. health industry as a percentage of the economy? Is it under 10%? And when that bloat comes to the United Kingdom, is it going to be positioned as a jobs creator? Because there are a lot of jobs in administration of all the paperwork that must be presented in order to deny healthcare.
It's a very hard sell for the right wing, because on the one hand, they preach efficiency. But as you've rightly stated, as you move towards a more privatized health system, you get this necessary bloated bureaucracy in charge of setting bills, setting prices, chasing bills, employing lawyers, employing accountants. And within the NHS, we've seen the growth of the bureaucracy from around 5% when it was a public service to something approximating 20%. Of course, the government doesn't collect these figures, but academics have estimated it's running about 20%. In the US, it's around 35, 36%. Now, at the moment, this hemorrhaging of money away from delivery of care is coming at the cost of looking after our patients, and the system is swallowing it. So, you know, we're following closely behind the US. We've seen significant health outcomes reduce. So life expectancy has plummeted in the last year. People over 65 are living 6 months shorter lives. Infant mortality has risen for 3 consecutive years. The evidence is mounting of the real damaging effects it's having on the population's health, and the government continue to take us down this completely wrong direction.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the budget for the NHS is £120 billion per year. How much of that is being diverted to these private finance initiatives, this PFI hospitals? So, you know, to the public, they still expect it to be their National Health Service, and they don't realize how many bloated, expensive private industry is involved at this moment, and the rent collectors, the toll collectors introduced into the health sector since Margaret Thatcher, essentially. So how much of that budget is currently being diverted to these PFI contracts?
Well, PFI is a major drain on the budgets. We know that the total borrowed was around 11 billion and the total repayment will be close to 90 billion. So it's having a significant impact on the running of hospitals as we speak. You've had the marketization, which is another drain. That's approximately 10 billion per year. And you've also got the cost of doing all this behind the scenes restructuring. So employing management consultants, the bankers, they're all feasting off the dying carcass of the NHS. Meanwhile, the public has to be kept in the dark for as long as possible. And as they see their services erode, you'll gradually get the middle class drift away into the arms of the private insurers.
Right. You know, it's amazing that part of the reason for Brexit, or part of the rhetoric behind Brexit, is a nostalgia for Britain of post-war Britain when the NHS was created. And I don't think anybody understands that now that Brexit's going to happen, you lose the NHS. So, you know, it's quite ironic, actually, because this nostalgic quest to reassert Britain's sovereignty would require, economically speaking, a dissolvement of everything that people are nostalgic for, Dr. Bob.
That's exactly right, Max. You know, the major sacrifice people made during the course of the Second World War, they didn't want their generations to be suffering the same levels of poverty and lack of care and insecurity that they went through. So the NHS was a fundamental pillar of the welfare state. Each time a politician opens his mouth in order to gain popularity, they preach their phony dedication to the NHS. But as we know, consecutive administrations for the last 30 years have prepared the NHS to get it to this situation. The pro-Brexiters were saying that there would be more money for the NHS. These are the right-wing advocates for a corporate takeover behind the scenes, of course. And while we were part of the EU, there was nothing that the European Union did to protect the NHS. We had TTIP, and you have the threat of, you know, the investor state dispute settlement with any trade deal where the corporates are protected against losses of future profits in case the governments decide to do things in the public interest. So the corporate power grab, the corporate budget grab is a threat either within the EU or outside the EU. But the agents of the threat, the mouthpiece for the corporates, are our politicians, of whatever colour you choose to pick.
Yes, we were in the UK leading up to Brexit. I remember all those buses, those ads on the side of the buses saying that NHS would get more money if you leave the European Union. Of course, it could be because it's going to become four times more expensive like it is in the United States. But in terms of this hard Brexit that might be coming up or might not, who knows, are you actually seeing any signs of that in the NHS? We see we're outside the UK now, but we do see all these scare stories that there's going to be a run on not only the banks and stuff like that, but there's also a shortage of pharmaceutical drugs and hospital supplies. Is that true or is it overblown?
Well, as a family doctor, we're getting more and more problems for patients to access the drugs that we prescribe. So we have to find alternatives. We do know there was a recent press report that the Department of Health has forbidden NHS trusts and clinical commissioning groups who spend the NHS money from talking about Brexit planning because they don't want to let the cat out of the bag in terms of how much impact this might have. So there are deep concerns amongst doctors, amongst the pharmacy community in terms of security of supply.
Right. So let's talk about this film, The Great NHS Heist. You've got some famous British actors on board. And it looks like it's going to have an impact out there once it's released. When is it released, by the way? And where will it be released, Dr. Bob?
So, Max, it's been a difficult, long journey. Being a full-time doctor and trying to get a film made has taken longer than expected. But we're hoping now that we've got Peter Egan, who's completed a very excellent voiceover, we are finally slotting the final pieces together. So we're hoping in the next few weeks. And what we'll do is a launch on Vimeo to try and recoup some of our costs and then let it free on to YouTube, on platforms like that, and to try and get the word out. And alongside that, I'll continue to do public meetings up and down the country to try and raise awareness and show up our political parties for what they are actually doing against the public interest.
And is there any way for people to continue to get involved now while you're doing the post-production? I know, having been a filmmaker and TV maker and documentary maker for a long time, that is often the most difficult and expensive part of it. Can anybody, where can they help you out?
Well, they can contact us on our social media platforms, but also our GoFundMe page, gofundme.com/thegreatNHSheist. And we will need, once this film's out, people to help us promote, spread the word, host screenings. I'm hoping, you know, some Americans will also host screenings because they will be terrified to discover that their special relationship with the UK is being abused by their corporations.
Well, having lived in the UK for a long time and now back in the United States, I could say our healthcare system is indeed chlorinated chicken to the all-natural free-range chicken of the United Kingdom in comparison.
Right. Well, on that note, that's it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. I'd like to thank our guest, Dr. Bob Gill of The Great NHS Heist. Until next week, bye, y'all.